Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 17th of April, 2024, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news with sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person this evening at the home of the Halfway Horse Tram. COVID-19 reports been on the Timbrelt agenda. TT merchandise providers paid up front. Right commissioners say they're right to pull out of the Northern Civic Amenity site. Olympic medalist Fatima Whitbread's been on the island today, and the Ravens got a 1-1 draw at Charnock Richard last night.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. The new provider of TT merchandise has had to make an upfront payment to the Department of Enterprise ahead of starting its contract. The minister says it's one of a number of measures which he hopes will improve the procurement process. Timbrelt has condemned the attacks that have occurred in the Middle East and is calling for a permanent ceasefire and the immediate release of all hostages there. Russian MHK Michelle Haywood presented a motion that asked politicians to agree to condemn attacks carried out by Hamas and the Israeli government, resulting in the death of thousands of innocent civilians. And FC Alavman's manager says he feels his side claimed a well-deserved point after their 1-1 draw against Charnock Richard in the NWCFL Premier Division last night. The Ravens return to league action tomorrow night at 7:45 when they travel to face Earlham in the RG3 Digital Stadium. Further afield, MPs have overturned four House of Lords amendments to Rishi Sunak's plan to send some asylum seekers to Rwanda. But it seems the UK Prime Minister's hopes that the bill will pass through Parliament tonight could be frustrated, with peers trying to make further changes. A former Israeli intelligence official claimed his country could strike Iran's nuclear facilities. Zohar Palti has been speaking as Western leaders urge Benjamin Netanyahu not to escalate the conflict. And Hugh Grant settled his privacy case against The Sun as his legal costs soar. The actor says he'll invest the enormous sum of money into press reform campaigns. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Garamaya, thank you. Siobhan from the Runnels Way Met Office. No wind warning in operation for the North RSE. State of sea is smooth or slight. And the weather this evening, well, it's lovely. Late sunshine, blue sky and a light to moderate northwesterly. Going to remain dry overnight. Minimum temperature 5 degrees. For Jerdain, cloudy and dry to start with, then some drizzle on the way through the afternoon and evening on a strengthening southwest wind up to 11 degrees, down to 7 through the night. Into Friday, for Chehenya, mostly dry first thing, then sunny spells on a fresh to strong west-northwesterly, which will dissipate throughout the day. Daylight maximum is 11. Tides on the way back in, high water 23 minutes past 8 tonight, sunset 26 minutes past 8, low tide 22 minutes past 2 a.m. sunrise 9 minutes after 6 tomorrow morning, and the morning high water at 21 minutes to 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be an approved contractor with Construction Isle of Man. Call the team on 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
It cost a lot of money, and Kate Brenner, KC's 3,600-page report into the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic was on the agenda in Timbrelt this week. There were calls from members for apologies, which the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, responded to.
There have been calls today to apologise for certain events. I have no hesitation in saying how empathetic I am, and indeed how sorry I am that there were experiences that with hindsight have proven to be extremely traumatic for people, and that with hindsight may have been approached in a different way. I think we should learn those lessons, and then we need to try and incorporate that hindsight, that way of thinking, into our future response plans. And indeed, honourable members will know that today we have just brought forward a very high-level acknowledgement of those recommendations, that contained within those recommendations are more detailed actions that government needs to undertake to get this right for the future. And indeed, I hope that we will reflect on some of the remarks today and bring those forward in a more detailed way. But let me end my opening remarks by saying, overall, I think we should remain incredibly proud of the way the island managed its way through the pandemic. I appreciate at times things were tough, but those decisions were being made in the very best interests, in the greater interests of the island. I suspect decisions being made by the Chief Constable at the time on the basis of his belief of the need to maintain absolute law and order, but not for some personal self-satisfaction, but I believe in the very best interests of protecting the greater life on the island and to ensure that discipline was maintained during a very, very tough and difficult period.
Bride commissioners say they made the right decision for residents by pulling out of the Northern Civic Amenity site. Board members Jenny Quine and Ivan Burton say the reasons behind the move were financial.
We have been planning for years to try and reassess the payment situation, make it a lot more favourable for us. As we do have a massive quarry, they do input a lot to our rates, so we managed to keep our rates low with the compensation from the quarry to help the residents. Basically, we just want a fair rate for our residents to use the amenity site that's available to everybody without paying an extortionate amount, and the village is losing out in the long run.
It's horribly disproportionate, and I think any cursory inspection will actually show that. Bride residents are paying twice, sometimes three, up to five times more than neighbouring parishes for the same facility, and that cannot be fair. We've been trying to for a long time to get it changed. It's been falling on deaf ears, unfortunately, and so we've had to take the decision to leave the civic amenity site and make our own arrangements.
We are very sorry the way it was announced on Facebook and social media. We did have everything ready to tell our residents, but obviously the civic community site beat us to it, made total panic and uproar when there wasn't meant to be any. They just give us the courtesy to let us know what was happening, what was being released. We could have forewarned our residents. In the 2023-24 year, we paid 13.77% out of a £432,000 amount it costs to run the CA site. Taking out the quarry, roughly it costs each resident household £250. We've got this amount per household to try and raise awareness that neighbouring villages only pay with the commercial rate £50 per household. This is not fair.
Update. Brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
Update on the boats. Fastcraft Mananan is currently in Liverpool. We'll be leaving later this evening. And the Manxman on her way to Douglas here in probably the next 15 minutes or so. The new provider of TT merchandise has had to make up an upfront payment to the Department of Enterprise before starting the contract. The minister says it was one of a number of measures hoping to improve its procurement process after Cube International breached the terms of its contract last year. Tim Johnston, MHK, says he hopes the relationship with the new provider, Source, will draw a line under last year's issues.
We went out to tender following the challenges and problems we had last year with the previous supplier. So we went out, I think, at the end of last year to tender five applications, none from the island, unfortunately. But we've signed up with Source Lab in January. So there's been an ongoing process of discussions, getting the retailers involved in that process. And actually, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be looking to launch the online shop. And that's when we would be looking to sort of more formally announce what was happening. But yeah, I think it's a positive thing. Retailers are really happy with the quality of the material. Got plenty of supplies in stock now. So hopefully we can draw a line from what happened last year, move forward with a new contract for the next 5 years with a beautiful company who supply a lot of the Premiership football teams, for example. So well-known, good backup. And so we're confident of a better future.
Similar was said about the previous supplier. What reassurances have you sought from this new supplier in relation to this?
Yeah, well, we heard that criticism. I think, you know, we are obviously always wanting to make sure and have done that the procurement processes are robust. This time we've taken some extra precautions, if you like, and we've also requested an upfront payment from the new supplier, which has happened. So certainly a much bigger skin in the game, if you like, going forward now, which I think is positive.
FC Isle of Man's 1-1 draw against Charnock Richard in the NWCFL Premier Division last night was a well-deserved point, according according to the Ravens manager. What's more, speaking to the club media at full time, Paul Jones heaped praise on Ravens goalscorer Jack McVeigh, as well as the young players who got some valuable match time in Darwin.
Both sides had some opportunities to see the game off, really. I thought we were excellent, again, for large parts. It gave them the goal in the first half and really dominated the second half with really good position and possession, and just had some counter-attacking opportunities. That partly the reason we don't play like that all of the time. We're such a kind of expansive passing sort of game because teams are so good at counter-attacking, and if we don't keep the ball up in their half of the pitch, then it can cause us problems. But here we got away with it, and yeah, really happy with the performance and the result. Just really pleased for the lads. They've probably deserved to get something out of tonight's game. He did really well. He's so composed, and he gives that calmness to the other players around him. He maybe would have been better if he wasn't quite so composed for their first goal when the centre forward nicked the fall off him when they broke away. But other than that, he's different class and really set the tone of how we were trying to play. Harley Max and Blake not had his company for a while, and it was great to give Harry, I think that was his league debut, in that last 15-20 minutes. He was really calm and composed, as they all were, and we didn't really miss a beat with them on the pitch, which says a huge amount about them, and also says a huge amount about the other players, helping them to settle in and feel comfortable to play and contribute to the game. So yeah, well, you know, they came on and we kept pushing forward, and we could have scored some goals, and they were excellent. So you know, we're really heartened again to give them the opportunity, and not just give them the opportunity, but for them to take it and show how good they are at the minute, but also what sort of potential that they could have in the years to come.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Faster, my big day in Port St Mary tomorrow. It's the by-election, and a candidate in the by-election says there needs to be more support for the local businesses in the village. Jean Teer is standing for the vacant commissioner's seat. The other candidates, James Helps and David Scott. Jean Teer also wants to try and improve transport links.
I've always had an interest in the commissioners, and I've popped down and listened to the public meetings. And then when I found out they were actually two short members short, and in terms of keeping things going for businesses and for the ratepayers, I decided it was time to stand up and be counted. The problem at the moment is they've got five members, and a quorum for a meeting is four. So if for any reason someone is sick or they can't attend for whatever reason, it means that those decisions have to go on to the following meeting. This is ratepayers and businesses' future that you're talking about, because every time the commissioner sits, decisions are made about the ratepayers or about the businesses. The feedback I'm getting is that the residents would like more communication and engagement with the commissioners themselves. I think they feel that not quite as direct, so I think they should need to look at areas and how it could be improved. I mean, that could be something simple like a focus group to hear views about an issue that's ongoing. The other side is the vibrancy of the village. We've got 28 eclectic businesses out there, which quite surprised me, that number, and they need to have the support of the footfall, so we need to keep looking at how we can actually improve that. I mean, obviously it's a 12-month tenure, so you're not going to cover everything, but if you look and improve small things, then that's a start. What do I hope to achieve? I hope to support the board to get it all working properly, sort of to need to listen to the ratepayers and the businesses, put footfall down, but I've also transport is another area, because I think there needs to be an improvement on the frequency of the buses, because the bus service has actually cut down within, say, the last 18 months, I think. And if that's their only mode of transport, they need to have the frequency, because the frequent buses also help the businesses, because people will come in.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before 6, shares in International Distribution Services, owner of the UK Royal Mail, soared after it emerged the Czech billionaire Daniel Kretinsky has made a takeover approach for the firm. Kretinsky already owns 27% of IDS through his investment vehicle Visa Equity Investment. Following reports by Reuters and the Financial Times that he was considering a bid, EP Corporate Group, Visa's parent company, confirmed a non-binding indicative proposal has been made earlier this month. EP said that IDS had rejected the proposed cash offer, but added that it looks forward to continuing to engage constructively with the board as EP Group considers its options. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport has retained its top spot as the busiest airport in the world for passenger traffic, a position it's held for more than two decades, except for the pandemic in 2020. Now, unless you're in aviation, you may not know that Hartsfield-Jackson is the main airport for Atlanta in Georgia. International travel is driving the global air travel recovery, and a new number two airport's emerged, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, the busiest airport on the planet for international travel, climbed three spots in the Airports Council international ranking to become the second busiest facility for passenger transport overall. Atlanta beat Dubai in total volume, but emerging economies in the Middle East and Asia Pacific are expected expected to field more than twice the expansion in aviation in decades to come. The rest of the top 10, after Hartsfield International and Dubai, in third place Dallas-Fort Worth, number 4 London Heathrow, 5th Tokyo Haneda, 6th Denver in Colorado, number 7 Istanbul, Turkey, 8th Los Angeles, 9th Chicago O'Hare, and in 10th position it's Delhi in India.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher. The dollar edged down and oil eased as worries about a global demand due to weak economic momentum in China and heightened tensions in the Middle East. And gold firmed. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall. The close in London saw the FTSE up 0.33% at 7,847. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.1% at the close, 17,786. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.4%, 37,661. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.6% at 15,762. The S&P 500 down 0.4% at 5,029. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 24.4 cents, €1 16.9 cents, and 23 South African rand 71.6 cents. In commodities, gold's up just over 0.1% at $2,386 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 1.2% at $88.53.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
But
you haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
2:45.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years, this is Manx Radio.
Tinwalls condemned the attacks that have occurred in the Middle East and is calling for a permanent ceasefire and immediate release of hostages. Russian MHK Michelle Hayward presented a motion that asks Manx politicians to agree to denounce the attacks carried out by Hamas and the IDF.
Several thousand Palestinians are now being held under administrative detention with no charges laid against them and no contact with their families. International humanitarian law enshrined in the Geneva Convention binds all states and requires occupying states to ensure the humane treatment of the population and provide for their basic needs, including food and medical care. Civilians and civilian objects must never be the target of attack, and all feasible precautions must be taken to minimise harm to civilians. The International Court of Justice is considering a case from South Africa alleging that the 1948 Genocide Convention may have been breached.
There are well-recognised international conventions that require parties to an armed conflict to draw a clear distinction between military and civilian targets. No one wants to see innocent lives lost.
I'm not here today to take sides or to show that one side is better than the other, but I do stand firmly, expressing my profound sadness for the events that continue to witness in the Gaza at the moment. Neither do I to pretend to understand why Hamas did what it did on the 7th of October last year. But Israel's response to that attack has caused significant human suffering that has resulted in an additional 32,000 deaths and around 67,000 people left injured.
It is our moral obligation to not overlook the suffering happening beyond our shores. While some discerning voices may argue that this is not our battle, or that our voice in such issues may be diminutive, but I firmly believe that silence in the face of injustice only serves to empower the oppressors.
Manx Radio Sport.
Pastor Mai, Rob Pritchard.
Pastor Mai, good evening. Starting with football, and Peel have maintained their 3-point lead at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League following the first midweek matches across the divisions last night. The Westerners were made to work for their 3-1 victory over St George's. Peel's title contenders Ayr United were awarded an away walkover against St John's United. Elsewhere, Onchan moved 5 points clear at the summit of Division 2 with a commanding 8-1 win away at Jim's. Meanwhile, the Division 2 match between Pulrose United and Governors Athletic was abandoned in the second half due to what's currently currently being described as an altercation. It's unclear at the moment as to whether Paul Rose's 1-0 lead at the time the game was stopped will stand or whether the fixture will be replayed. Tonight, there's more football action on the cards with 7 games planned across the 2 combination leagues. All of tonight's fixtures are due to get underway at 6:30 p.m. In motorsport, several Manx riders have enjoyed success during this year's edition of the Bob Smith Spring Cup Road Races. The 2024 meeting at Oliver's Mount saw Ireland riders such as Joe Yeardsley, Gareth Arnold and Marcus Simpson all secure places on the top step during 2 days of racing on Saturday and Sunday. Yeardsley went on to take victory in one of the classic superbike contests, while there was also success and first place for Simpson in one of the super twin races. Elsewhere, Ramsey man Arnold was a winner in the Supersport B class, and Dan Sale was also on the podium, finishing third in one of the lightweight sessions. And finally, in cycling, there's a call for competitors and volunteers for one of the Isle of Man's headline races this weekend. The Tour of the Middle takes place on Sunday and will form the Isle of Man National Championships Road Race. Entries are open until Sunday itself. Those interested in competing or marshalling can contact the Manx Viking Wheelers Club.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way. Next, it's the half past 6 EasyJet from Belfast International, 7:25 Loganair from Edinburgh, the 7:35 EasyJet from Gatwick, and then it's the 5:08 Loganair returning patient transfer from Liverpool. Finally, the 10:09 Loganair inbound from London City. They're all showing on time. Outbound 6 o'clock to Liverpool, the Loganair. 7 o'clock EasyJet to Belfast International. The 5:08 Loganair to Edinburgh. And the 8:05 EasyJet return to London Gatwick. On the roads, temporary lights on Braddon Road near Strang Close for a temporary crossing. Temporary lights on Vicarageshire Road at Stevenson's Way roundabout for water main replacement. A stretch of Balaguer Lane near Peel's Close for drainage work. Temporary lights on the main road at Balfane roundabout. Now, those they should be gone, or if not, they should be gone tonight from Manx Utilities for those urgent electrical repairs in Ballasella. Part of the old Castletown Road closed between Port Sodrick Glen and Marine Drive for carriageway repairs. Temporary lights Brighton Terrace is closed between Mount Bradder and Trinity Church just by the Rosemount Pub for gas main replacement work. Hillside Avenue closed to Circular Road in Douglas for window replacement. Section of Switzerland Road's closed till November for construction work. Face closures on the Starvey Road for water main work. And water main work on Ballykilferrick Road and also Kiandrochid Road in Andrews. Temporary lights in Gansey on Shore Road near Mount Gorn Road for patching work prior to resurfacing. And the mountain road is clear as a bell.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with
Quayside. Two-time Olympic medalist is on the Isle of Man today advocating for children and young people in care. Fatima Whitbread met with representatives from the National Sports Centre today to discuss the impact access to sporting facilities can have on vulnerable children. She told Manx Radio it's about self-growth, confidence and life skills.
I was abandoned as a baby, some would say left to die, and a neighbour heard a baby crying in a flat, so she called the police. And then I was made a ward of court and spent the next 14 years of my life in children's homes. And so my ministry today is all about sport was my saviour. And through sport, obviously, I met the love of the Whitbreads. And I was fostered at the age of 14. Having spoken about sport, it was a wonderful opportunity, as it is for young people, to learn about life skills. And the National Sports Centre here have partnered up with the local authority, Corporate Parenting, for our children. There's about 80 plus children in the Isle of Man that needs extra loving care and support, and they've partnered up to offer them opportunities to come here at Sports Centre to be engaging with some of the sports that go on. SC, they give free partnership for entrance for our young children to come here to engage with other people and try different sports. It's all about self-growth, confidence, life skills, engaging and staying in a safe environment. And without these opportunities, we would lose a lot of our children, I think, off the wayside to criminality, because they get targeted very easily, and our young girls also get sexually abused because they're quite vulnerable. So we all have that moral and ethical responsibility to do what we can, and it's great to see that the National Sports Centre have stepped up. So kudos to them.
Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
Overspends on government projects started before COVID would have also happened on private sector bills, insists the Health and Social Care Minister. It's after Timwald agreed to spend an extra £2.3 million to complete Summerhill View Care Home, the development in Douglas, taking the total cost to almost £15 million. Laurie Hooper, MHK, says the way the capital programme works is complicated.
It's Treasury's job to keep one handle on the total budget and make sure they've got overall oversight. It's the project management unit who actually run the projects and deal with the day-to-day bills. And then obviously the department, or in this case Manx Care, would be the end client. So we'd want saying what we need the rooms to look like and all that kind of stuff. So it can be a bit difficult at times, I think, to get everyone on the same page. But the overspend really came from the fact that the budget, I think, was originally agreed back in 2017. There were planning appeals that actually didn't get on site then until 2020. And then COVID hit with the lockdown. So when you've got a budget that was approved before tender, then the tender hits, then the COVID hits, and then actually you've seen the prices of materials and the construction sector almost heat up quite a lot then as a result of things like Brexit and the war in Ukraine. You're looking at all these things happening over a really long time scale and now coming back towards the end of it and saying, well, obviously that was going to have an impact. So ultimately I think what we're seeing, and we've seen it with a couple of projects, I think, where the original proposal, the original budget has been sort of blown out of the water almost by these bigger international events that we've got no control over. On the one hand, it's disappointing that we have to come back and ask for additional money, but actually on the flip side, all of the things that were within the control of the PMU of government seem to have been handled pretty well. When you contract with people, there are things inside the contract which you'd refer to as a compensation event. So if, for example, COVID hits, no one can predict that. It isn't really fair to tell the private sector contractor, you've got to pay for this anyway. If the errors and if things go wrong that are within the control of the contractor, actually it should be on them to pay for it. But ultimately, if I was in the private sector and I was having a build like this that I started just before COVID hits, I would still incur all these same costs. All of those issues are still going to be felt by anyone, whether you're in government or in the private sector.
That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to Newsreader. Siobhan Fletcher, producer Amy Griffiths. Spotlights on the way, our arts programme with Howie Kane after six. Greater Sits with Chris Kinley. Opera Hour with Ernie Thorne. And Update returns Thursday evening at 5:30. WINT.